Always great to have your company. Always great to have the company of Richmond CEO Brendan Gale. Has been good enough to pick up the phone. Welcome to you, Brendan. Great to have you back on.
Pleasure, Dwayne.
AFL CEOs got together yesterday, and among the things that you guys and the AFL decided, and girls and the AFL decided, was that reserve seats will be back from next round. I'm sure that's a pretty big one for your members.
Oh, it's a great initiative, Dwayne. I mean, I must apologise. I didn't make that meeting. I attended an AFLW competition, a committee meeting. So I wasn't able to attend, but someone did on our behalf. But no, it's great news. It's been a source of great frustration for our members and our fans of all clubs, and certainly it's placed great pressure on our clubs to manage that because, yeah, simply stated, we haven't been able to put our reserve seat holders in the seats that they're entitled to because of these restraints. And so from round nine onwards, we will. And so it's something we're really looking forward to, and so will our members and fans, I'm sure.
How do you keep, I think you've got over 100,000 members again, how do you keep over 100,000 members happy with the way they get to the footy and how they're seated and the multiple opportunities you've got to buy different memberships?
Oh, look, it's, you know, in these times, it's been really difficult. I'll be honest, Dwayne, it's been really hard to meet their expectations and provide the experience they want. I mean, these aren't normal times, are they? So by and large, our members have been very understanding. But look, you know, we've got a range of different membership options at different price points with different benefits. You know, we pride ourselves on providing a premium level of service. I mean, we've got a saying around here, Dwayne, we don't just exist for our members, we exist because of our members. I mean, they are really the owners of the club, and we simply manage the club on their behalf for the time we're here. And so we try and act accordingly and provide a superior level of service and listen.
So how do you get your members, and what's your policy to get your members into their seat? Have you got a specific way they go about it?
Well, at the moment it has been balloting. We've had no choice. But, you know, for those who have reserve seats or reserve bays from round nine, they will be able to sit in the seat they've paid for and have reserved, or the bay they have reserved. It's as simple as that.
Got to ask you about what role a CEO plays in contracts these days, Brendan. You've got Shea Bolton, and you've obviously got guys that you would sign on long-term deals like a Dustin Martin. How does it happen? You've got to trust your footy department, but I'm sure you have a say, and then if it's a big contract, the long-term, it has to go to the board to be rubber-stamped?
Yeah, that's by and large how it works, Dwayne. There's people at our footy club much better placed than me to make those decisions and calls, who work close to it day after day. You know, people like Blair Hartley and, you know, Matthew Clark. And but yeah, look, when there's you know, big investments required from the club that you know, require a different level of risk, that, you know, we have delegations in place. You know, I might get involved, et cetera, et cetera. I'm generally aware of the list build or list management strategy, the overarching strategy that sits in place, and I'm aware of how all the pieces fit. But yeah, the contract really does come down to our list management team, headed up by Blair Hartley, who does an outstanding job.
And are you bored across it? Will they know all the details, and do they have to ratify it, or can you ratify it and tell the board that that's been done?
No, it depends. I mean, sometimes a contract of a particular term and a particular value, we have a threshold in place, might require the ratification of a board. You know, a board will often reserve that for itself. And, you know, we have a series of delegations throughout the whole organisation, and it'll be the same for most clubs, I would have thought.
So what term, roughly, would that be? A longer than 4-year deal, or longer than a three-year deal?
Yeah, I don't want to specify, Dwayne, but a long-term deal with, you know, a significant financial outlay. I'm going to leave it at that. You know, anything less than that is really up to the management. You know, the board put their faith and trust and confidence in management to make those decisions. But yeah, I think the board, just to cover off and just you know, above a certain value and beyond a certain term, a long one.
Is there a number? Is there a number that you'd cap it at and say, no, we wouldn't be buying into a contract of that length?
I don't think you can have a prescribed policy, Dwayne. It does depend on the circumstances. It depends on, you know, it depends whether you're trying to bring a player in or depends whether you've got an existing player. And, you know, clearly the most notable one we have is maybe Dustin Martin. You know, it's a long-term contract. It was a 7-year contract. But I think, you know, we took into account a range of factors. One is his talent, you know, his age, but also his durability, his professionalism, and we felt in those circumstances a 7-year term was justifiable. So we don't have a set policy. It really will depend on the individual and the particular circumstances that apply at the time.
And did your coach have a say?
Clearly the coach has a say. I mean, we've got a list management committee and, you know, the coach has a seat on that, but, you know, our head of list management oversees that, and clearly the coach has a say. But he's one of many, and ultimately our head of list management will make a call, and but, you know, mostly by consensus.
I understand you were fairly vocal at the women's competition meeting yesterday. Is that correct?
Oh, no, not really. Dwayne, I tend to ask a lot of questions. I mean, I really enjoy my involvement in that committee because I you know, it gets me closer to the women's game. There are some issues that are, I guess, more specific to the women's game. But so I ask a lot of questions. There's a lot of really capable people and a range of different views, and I chip in from time to time. Not much, I might add, but from time to time.
But you were anti the 18-team comp expansion being soon. You would rather it hold for a while?
No. Come on, Dwayne. No. No, that's... I think those committees work best when people speak confidentially and confidently. So I think my views are left for the committee.
May I ask your opinion on a start date? Did you have an opinion on what might be a good start date for the competition?
I think the AFL women's competition is a really significant growth story for our club and for the code. It's putting in really strong foundations and really strong roots. The game's improving, and it's improving as a media property. It did drop off when the men's competition started. It's unsurprising. So I'd like to see, as a general comment, some clear delineation between the women's and the men's.
And you talked about football department caps, or people have said that you've talked about caps on football department and how much they've been stretched. Do you see the actual football department caps being raised by the AFL in the near future?
Look, I'm not sure, Dwayne. Our position's been very clear, we understand the circumstances which led to a reduction of the soft cap. I think we're dealing with an unprecedented COVID crisis and uncertainty of revenue. I guess our view as a club, we just felt those cuts were too savage and even could have been phased in over. So I would like to see a reasonable increase in the soft cap to retain staff, to support the professionalism of the product, which drives the growth in our game, and that's the product at the elite level. So, but having said that, you know, the AFL is dealing with a range of different investment priorities, interests that are incompatible, and they've got to land at the right spot. They've got a lot of justifiable areas that need further investment, and you know, they've got to make that call.
And do you like Thursday night footy? Should we be playing on every Thursday night? Have you got an opinion on that?
I do, Dwayne. I mean, I like it. I love footy, so. You're preaching the converted there, but I like it. I think there's a slot. I think there's an appetite. So I think it was really sort of opened up last year. I think there's an appetite. you know, we tend to start with a few Thursdays. They return in the middle of the year. I think there's an opportunity to have more. You know, the AFL deal with fixturing. I mean, but they work closely with the broadcasters. I mean, there'd be reasons which I wouldn't be aware of. But from a personal point of view, I like Thursday night footy. I think there's a real opportunity for the competition.
And there's a reasonable game going on this Friday night. You've got a couple of players back. You'll miss a couple, but should be a reasonable contest.
Oh, it'll be a great contest, Dwayne. We've got so much respect for Geelong. They're a club and a team that we really admire and respect, who just keep giving themselves an opportunity, you know, by dint of their professionalism and their culture. You know, we were lucky enough to salute at the grand final. This is a different year. This is a different game. You know, they lost one of the greatest sons or greatest champions in Frank Costa. What a remarkable man he was. So it's going to be a really, really tough contest.
Can I just take you further on the Frank Costa issue? Because, look, I was lucky enough to get to know him. Every Geelong player got to know him. And living in the town, you know, get to run into him at cafes. And when you get that 1 or 2 minute opportunity to pick his brain, it's a beautiful time. He has been a great for the game. Do people really understand how big he has been for the understanding of not just Geelong's point of view, but the national point of view and the game in terms of how great a game it is and where it can grow to?
I think those in and around football certainly do, Dwayne. I mean, I certainly didn't know him anywhere near as much as you or people from Geelong, but I did have the pleasure of meeting and sitting in a few meetings in different forums. You know, it's just, yeah, that beautiful combination of strength and integrity. He's obviously a strong leader, but with personal humility and selflessness to serve his club and to serve his community incredibly well. And, you know, it sets an incredible benchmark for all of us to try and aspire to be. He's just a wonderful man, Frank. And, you know, certainly from the Richmond Football Club, our thoughts and condolences go out to those who knew and loved him.
Couldn't have summed that up any better. Brendan, great to have a chat to you. Can't wait for Friday night. And keep on keeping on. You're an amazing club. You've done an amazing job. Over 100,000 members again. You need to be congratulated. Well done.
Thanks, Dwayne. Should be a great night. Can't wait. Thank you.
Brendan Gale, Richmond CEO. We'll take a break. Couple of your calls after it. 1-300-736-736. The number, the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia. Open for business. Number one selling dealership in Australia. 3 years running at Werribee Kia.